Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Adam McManus, our host for The Worldview in 5 minutes, theworldview.com, is co-hosting with me on this edition. And, friends, it is time for the Olympics. Every, 2 years or 4 years, the Olympics playing, and, well, half of America not watching anymore. At least the half that used to watch is not watching the Olympics anymore. I didn't get any of it. I don't think I've watched the Olympics in years. Adam?
The Olympics, of course, in Tokyo, Japan, is a dramatically different time frame than when we're used to watching. Amy and I had recorded it. We watched the opening ceremonies, and it was boring with a capital B. I don't know what the Japanese were thinking, but it was very esoteric. It wasn't very dramatic. They did have some fireworks, but the majority of what we were watching, I kept turning to Amy and saying, When is it going to actually start? Where's the big grand excitement about this opening ceremonies? Because that really sets the tone for the entire Olympics. And I think if you've got a bad opening ceremonies, it's not going to bode well for the cast and staff of one TV show wants a great lead-in from the preceding TV show in the lineup to help build their audience. The other thing that was frustrating as a viewer was that every person was masked. So they have this grand parade of the 190, 200 plus nations represented in the Olympics with their brightly colored flag leading the way, but you couldn't see anyone's face because everybody was wearing a mask. I mean, half of the fun is to see their smiles and to see the different ethnicities represented around the world. And basically it looked like we were watching a bunch of robots walk in with different outfits. So it was a frustration as a viewer. And the other thing that I noticed and was frustrating to me as a viewer was how many seats were open. And I don't know whether that's because the Japanese people weren't interested in buying tickets or the tickets were too expensive or they had overly strict COVID protocols that required every three or four rows to be empty. But, I mean, there were thousands of empty seats in that opening ceremony arena.
Well, the winds are coming out of the sails on so much of this professional sports and amateur sports as well. We're going to touch on some of that on this edition. And so many of the news reports that cover the Olympics came back to the transgenderism, the woke issue in which, well, so many of the American athletes have really expressed their embarrassment about America. And who wants to watch a guy pretending to be a girl competing in girls' sports? You know, it's a farce. Everybody knows it's a farce. The Olympics, as far as it's transgendering its sports, as so many other sports systems are doing the same thing. The Olympics is the circus of clowns these days. And also, the bottom line is, people aren't interested in it. NBC hoped its multi-billion-dollar investment in promoting Olympics would pick up the games this year, but alas, it didn't happen. NBC averaged 12.6 million viewers on Saturday nights, the 39% drop off of the 2016 Olympics and a 56% drop off of the 2012 Olympics. Olympic viewership via NBC was around 26 million viewers on average for 20 years. Well, the average hit 19 million in 2018, now down to between 12.6 and 14.7 million. That's about half the viewers that used to watch the Olympics aren't watching anymore.
Well, they're also offering make goods to the advertisers. The advertisers had invested $1.2 billion in this sports extravaganza, and because the viewership has been so dramatically lower than what the NBC ad executives had anticipated, they're telling all of these very nervous advertisers, look, we will bonus you X number of additional ads throughout the NBC year, and these are leading sitcoms or dramas because the program has failed to meet its original viewership guarantees. And I guess my question to you is, to what do you attribute the lower depressed viewership of the Olympics?
Well, I think we're going through a national collapse. Obviously, I wrote the book, Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West. We are facing a national collapse, economic collapse, social collapse, political collapse. We have the most massive political division in the history of this country. We're dealing with social exhaustion. People are tired. They're sick of it. The woke stuff, the LGBT stuff, the transgenderized sports, the politicized sports. Professional sports have been almost entirely homosexualized. As we pointed out, there's only one baseball team that is not homosexualized, at least to the point at which they would promote homosexuality as part of their presentation. And World Series professional baseball viewership actually dropped from 25 million down to 9 million as of last year. Super Bowl ratings for the NFL, apparently it's at a 50-year low. It dropped off from 115 million a couple years ago to 92 million. NBA viewership ratings also down from 24 million to 12 million for the Bucks-Suns finals this year. The verse we repeated 100 times on this program, my friends, keep in mind, the world passes away with its lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And the bottom line is, you've got a leftist, politicized, homosexualized sports program. And, you know, I don't think an institution in America has been so dominated by homosexuality, at least in the last couple of years, as professional sports.
There's also a hatred for America from not the Russians or the Chinese or the North Koreans, but from Americans. I mean, hammer thrower Gwen Berry comes to mind. During the Olympic trials, she turned away from the American flag while on the podium June 26th for the event's medal ceremony, where she was upset, allegedly, by the timing of the U.S. national anthem. She happens to be a black athlete, was suspended for 12 months by the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee for a raised fist at the 2019 Pan American Games, but did so again before the Olympic trials qualifying round as part of her quest for so-called social change. And I'll tell you, you've really put your finger on the pulse of, I think, the primary reason that viewership is so dramatically down of the Olympics, at least in America. Tammy Bruce, host of Fox News Primetime, says that people are sick and tired of all the leftist ideology that's permeating every single corner of our society. She said, failure, misery, resentment, victimhood, hatred for the country, that's what fuels the left, and it's penetrating nearly every corner of society. Ask yourself, could this shift in attitude and a shift away from national pride be present in Team USA's stumbling start at the Olympic Games?
Yeah.
She says absolutely.
Yeah.
And Grant Stinchfield, a Newsmax host, formerly at a talk station in Dallas, said in a tweet he took pleasure in seeing the U.S. Olympic basketball and women's soccer teams lose with all their involvement in the social justice nonsense. I found myself rooting against not just Megan, the homosexual soccer player, but in her merry band of American-hating female soccer players, and took pleasure in seeing the men's basketball team, USA's first team, lose since 2004 because of Greg Popovich of San Antonio Spurs fame and his rabid America bashing. They lost to France in a stunning 83-76 loss.
Exhibits A, B, C, and D. Adam, you're hitting all of the points at which we're seeing exactly what we've been talking about for years on this program. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. We are a nation that's divided against God, and now a nation divided against itself. This nation has never had so many political divisions, arguably since the Civil War, might even include the Civil War period. We're going to talk more about the demise of the Olympics, the demise of sports, the demise of the United States, the demise of all of our major institutions going on right now. Well, hey, the world passes away in its lusts thereof, but he who does the will of the Lord abides forever. That next on Generation. Stay with us.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, Adam McManus also co-hosting with me on this edition as we talk about the Olympics. The 2021 Olympics, not going well. Half the audience, half of the interested parties, at least those tuned in to NBC's presentation of the Olympics this year, and almost everything falling off. The great liberal institutions of America collapsing, the Olympics, NBA, NFL, professional baseball. I gave you all these examples, exhibit A, B, C, and D, of how American institutions, especially the liberalized institutions, you say, well, what? Professional baseball liberalized? Oh, yeah, absolutely. The NFL, etc., at the forefront of the disintegration of America. And friends, I've given you many of these examples already. College enrollment has dropped off 21 million down to 17 million, some 4 million person drop in just 10 years. That's some 25% of the American university population, and that, of course, another liberal institution. And the homosexualized Hollywood's virtually disappeared. It was averaging some $10 billion in box office receipts per year, now down to about $1 billion. The homosexualized Boy Scouts membership dropped off from 5 million down to 1.12 million in 2020. Now, what, 700,000, as just reported on the Worldview in 5 minutes. That's, what, about a 90% decrease? Again, the homosexualized Boy Scout organization collapsed, utterly collapsed. 5 million all the way down to 700,000 in just, what, 10 years?
Incredible.
And the homosexualized classrooms also across America, the transgendered bathrooms in American K-12 schools have resulted in a huge migration to homeschooling. Homeschooling tripled in California this year as compared to the pre-pandemic numbers. All of this is interesting. Hollywood reduced in box office receipts by 90% in 2 years. Boy Scouts down 90% in 10 years. Secular liberal colleges down 25% in 10 years. Professional sports cut down by 30 to 50% in the last 4 to 5 years. What's happening? We're in the middle of a gigantic collapse of a civilization, my friends. And a lot of it is woke. The catalyst by which a nation is divided turns out to be racism, class envy, CRT, critical race theory, LGBT. These are the things destroying American institutions, introducing division, corruption, and disintegration into American society. So blame it on the left, blame it on the liberals, blame it on the homosexuals, blame it on the critical race theorists. This liberal agenda is akin to urinating in your own tent. It's self-destructive. You just don't do that.
What a visual that is.
It destroys the institutions. It is intending to reform, but that's what's happening here.
Oh, my. Well, Tammy Bruce has another great quote from Fox News. She says, "I contend, for some," referring to the Olympics, "this is the conscious and subconscious result of choosing resentment and grievance over pride and optimism, translating into an embarrassment to even be an American and to represent our nation." What a different world we find ourselves in, and so much of it we can lay at the feet of the educational institutions, from the government, elementary through high school, and certainly at the college level, where their minds are being saturated in hostility to America, hostility to our Christian heritage, and it's no wonder that they rejected at every chance.
Yeah, and of course, mass producing the critical race theory in every effort possible to divide a nation. That's what the left is doing. It's the self-destructive kind of agenda. And much of this is the wokeism. The Fox News article you referred to said that, you know, hey, this is the woke athletes who appear far more concerned about scoring political points with leftist ideologies than they do with their performance during this year's Olympics Games in Tokyo. And don't forget, the NFL just announced they're going to play the Black National Anthem before the Star Spangled Banner.
What?
Every week.
What is the Black National Anthem?
One game.
I haven't even heard
of
that.
Every week, one game. Well, hey, that should cure racism and unite the country. That should do it. Play the Black National Anthem, then play the Hispanic National Anthem, then play the White National Anthem. The unity will be amazing, Adam.
That's all we need to do. I wasn't even aware there was a Black National Anthem.
Yeah, that's going to fix it. That'll draw the whole nation together. Yeah, the left knows exactly what they're doing. Yeah.
And then we need to sing Kumbaya at the end of all that.
Oh, boy. Well, of course, this is intended to divide a nation. Racism, hatred for one another, comparing one another, backing ourselves into social justice, Marxist justice, class envy. This is what the devil does best. And the whole definition of woke, I mean, what is this woke-ism, but the being alert to injustices, alert to people who break God's law? No, I don't think so. Alert to people who are breaking man's laws. See, again, this is to confuse the whole issue of what is just and what is unjust, what is right and what is wrong. This is all confusion. This is an intent to point out that those races that are economic disadvantaged should be the recipients of a redistribution of the wealth. I mean, come on, that's it. Just another back door to Marxism. Everybody knows that. The woke definition is supposed to be to alert one another to injustice. But what is it? To alert people to the injustice as defined as those who break God's law? You know, alert to the injustice of homosexuality, adultery, robbing banks, murdering people, aborting babies, violating marriage covenants, worshiping other gods besides the true and living God, taking God's name in vain. Mm. That's justice. That's God's justice. That's God's definition of justice.
Right.
But that's not woke. Woke is going to alert you to other injustices, ergo Marx's definition of injustice, not God's definition of injustice. And therefore, woke and CRT are just backdoors into Marxism. And so there are so many backdoors to Marxism, you just have to be an idiot not to recognize it. This is just one more of them. And, of course, intended to bring about class envy and riots on the streets, and that's precisely what the Marxists have been doing since the Bolshevik Revolution. This is what they're good at, overturning social orders and then bringing dictatorships in. I mean, we understand this gig. It's been done hundreds of times. We should know it by now.
I'm reminded of Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, We Will Not Be Silenced, and he says, you have to take a step back when the left uses terms like justice. You need to know that the biblical or long-meaning definitions or connotations of these words that we've all understood to be true are totally being injected with new meaning. So just like the Mormons can use some of the same phrases and words that Christians are accustomed to hearing at our doorsteps when they try to witness to us and draw us into their cult, we need to be aware of the new definitions and meanings of words that the left is putting into the words that we have embraced and loved, like justice, and we need to be aware of it.
Well, I think one of the questions we want to get back to now, Adam, is what's happening with the Olympics? Why is viewership cut 50% off, the last 5 or 6 or 8 years? And I think there seems to be a hatred of the country. And guys, you know, that doesn't work when the Olympics was all about rooting for your country. You know, it's not going to work. You're all about rooting for your country and you're hating your country. That doesn't sound like it's going to work out very well.
Exactly.
And that's what's breaking down the Olympics. I mean, who wants to root for America?
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, the liberals have a hard time rooting for what they perceive as an anti-Marxist country, a country that's just not Marxist enough, isn't redistributing the wealth quite enough for their preferences. Conservatives have a hard time rooting for a transgender weightlifters.
Exactly.
So the Olympics are disintegrating, guys.
From both ends.
Division. This is corruption. The corruption comes about when, well, you're violating God's law wholesale at every level, at the most egregious extent, and now the Olympics are disintegrating. This is what happens. If the Olympics is about nationalism, and Olympians hate what their countries stand for, And men are competing with men and women are competing with women, but then you start blending the guy-girl thing with the transgender nightmare. The Olympics is dead. How is that going to survive?
No. It's not fair, and it's certainly not a genuine athletic competition when you're allowing both genders to participate. Talk about justice throws off all sense of what's fair and what's right, because they have embraced a moral relativism that has now not just been a ideological point, it has incredibly practical implications that are destructive to our society, including athletic competition.
You know, this is a beautiful example of the eschatological development that the Apostle Paul brings out for any human society in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 details a human society that is slowly but surely making its way down the sewer pipe, and it's a progression. It happens over time. And so it begins with a lack of gratefulness to God, and eventually ends up in an embracing of homosexuality. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, even their women exchanging the natural use for what is against nature, likewise also the men. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And that's precisely what is happening in our society, even as that happened in the Greek society, the Roman society, and eventually resulted in the disintegration of those empires. Well, friends, just a few takeaways. I think as Christians, we need to back off for just a second and ask ourselves, okay, so how do we look at our nation? And I would say beware of national pride. Again, I don't believe that we should be proud of our nation. I think we should be grateful for our nation. So that's a distinct, important distinction. It's a biblical, ethical distinction. God does not call us to be proud. Proud of ourselves, proud of our family, our ilk, our nation, etc. No, no. We're to be grateful and give God thanks as far as our nation gives us a little freedom. And by the way, there's less and less of that, but we're thankful. The Bill of Rights is somewhat still extant, and we have some basic principles that are still being kind of maintained by some of our judicial and executive and legislative institutions. But here, let's be humbled. I think a better thing to be is be humbled, that we are a sinful nation. We are not better. We're not more righteous. We're not less sinful than so many other nations. It's hard to compare ourselves, but, you know, we are the source of so much evil in the world. Do you realize, Adam, that the U.S. produces 89% of the world's pornography?
Wow. I knew it was high. I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 89% of the world's pornography. Now, it turns out Korea, South Korea, China, and Japan are the biggest consumers, sadly. So, very destructive, obviously. They're the nations that are being destroyed by this. But we are the producers of 89% of the world's pornography. That's just a data point. But that's another reason why we should be humbled. We should cry out for God's mercy. We should repent.
So much for being a light set on a hill.
Oh, man. Yeah, not so much the light set on the hill. The sewer pipe set down in the ditch, you know, to pour our sewer water all over all these other countries. But let's be truthful. Let's be truthful. Let's be humble. Let's be truthful. Let's be grateful. But, you know, it's hard to sing the Star Spangled Banner. I think the last verse is better than the first. It's hard to say that we are still the land of the free and the home of the brave, given the massive increase in status tyranny we've experienced in this country for the last 100 years. Certainly, the little babies in the womb, some 7-8 million little babies in the womb in any given year, are not enjoying the right to life, the freedom to live, the liberty that they should have, to have a right to life. It's hard to say that we are the land of the free and the home of the brave, but I do like the last verse of the Star Spangled Banner. I think we can sing this last verse with a fair amount of faith and gratefulness and truthfulness. Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust, and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Mm.
There it is, acknowledging that this is a heaven-rescued land. We don't save ourselves. It is God that saves us.
Indeed.
And to praise the power that made and preserved us a nation. And don't forget, conquer we must, win our cause it is just. This be our motto, in God is our trust.
Mm.
That's a whole lot better than trusting in princes, horses, and Joe Biden.
And his chariots.
And his chariots, yeah. And his shots. Should we also add the free shots?
Yeah.
You know, the guy comes to your door knocking.
Right.
Offering you the free shot. Okay. Well, my friends, here, I want to leave you with this. I know this is somewhat disconnected, but Francis Scott Key wrote another song that I learned as a child. In fact, it's in our hymnal. We sing it at our church on an occasion, and it is one of my favorite hymns. Turns out he was a believer, and he wrote hymns. And so I'm going to leave you with this hymn. Lord, with glowing heart I praise thee for the bliss thy love bestows, for the pardoning grace that saves me, and the peace that from it flows. Help, O God, my weak endeavor, this dull soul to rapture raise. Thou must light the flame or never can my love be warm to praise. Praise my soul, the God that sought thee, wretched wanderer far astray, found thee lost and kindly brought thee from the paths of death away. Praise with love's devoutest feeling him who saw thy guilt-born fear, and the light of hope revealing bade the blood-stained cross appear. Praise thy Savior, God, that drew thee to that cross new life to give, held a blood-sealed pardon to thee, bade thee look to him and live. Praise the grace whose threats alarmed thee, roused thee from thy fatal ease. Praise the grace whose promise warmed thee. Praise the grace that whispered peace. Lord, this bosom's ardent feeling vainly would my lips express. Low before thy footstool kneeling, deign thy suppliant's prayer to bless. Let thy love, my soul's chief treasure, love's pure flame within me raise. And since words can never measure, let my life show forth thy praise.
And that from an attorney.
Friends, that's Francis Scott Key, and I think the best way to end the program is to give God all the praise and the glory. And let's not just keep it for ourselves. Let's not praise and glory and honor in our nation. Let's be sure that we hand off the praise and the glory to God. And that, I think, was the heart of Francis Scott Key. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I encourage you to my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, which gives you the full context in which all of this is happening. We want to be sure, friends, you see the full picture. And that's why I pulled together the book Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. And hopefully you will gain some vision, some understanding where we are, that you will understand the times and know what to do. The book is Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.